right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, September 13th, 2017. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Wednesday, everyone. It is a cloudy 58 degrees and probably going to drizzle here shortly in upstate New York. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Hubo, Resistance is Futile, Sonic Hacks, Killer AI Sex Bots, and the Internet of Things. We talked about a lot of stuff. We looked at some of the new hacks that are available using ultrasonic technology that is inaudible to humans that can hijack any voice-initiated device. Camille, one of our listeners, sent me an email yesterday about this new product called Chirp. And I didn't pull that up yet, but you could take a look at that. That's chirp.io. And that uses audible and inaudible ultrasonic frequencies to trigger different devices. But the concern came about when we were looking at sex bots. There was a story that came out about sex bots could potentially kill their owners at some point if they were ever hacked. And that's got to be a worry, because I know that's what a lot of these people who are looking forward to the future of AI are hoping for, are the sex bots. But I'm sorry, guys, it is not going to be the dangling carrot that takes us to utopia. Oh, no, no. Especially looking at hacks and the Internet of Things, we should be worried about all of the objects in our environment becoming a part of the Internet of Everything, becoming part of the Internet of Things and Internet enabled. We found out that DARPA, all in the name of keeping you safe, wants to search and scan 80% of the world's IP addresses for viruses, and then without your knowledge, put an agent on your device to be able to, quote-unquote, neutralize botnets before they attack. And it was making me wonder, I was thinking the other day, I had this computer that I had been broadcasting on since the very beginning. It was an old machine. But I went away for the weekend, and I came back, and my machine had gone to sleep, and it never woke up again. It just won't wake up. And the light's still flashing like it's pulsating, breathing. It's not a Mac. It's just an old Dell PC. But it's still flashing like it's sleeping. So I was kind of joking this morning that maybe it went into a coma, a permanent coma. And I'm going to have to pull the drive out of there and see if I can recover some of my data. But, yeah, it's pretty interesting how lately it just seems like all the things that used to work just don't work anymore. Anytime I try to use my computer, and I have three of them still that are working, but number four is dead. But when I try to get online and get anything done, I don't know if you've noticed, but it just takes 10 times longer than it should. And your memory on your machine gets sucked dry when you just have a couple tabs open, like something is pulling your machine. And I don't know, guys, but I have to say, with my hypertension issues, it does not help the situation any. I realized that on the UCY Facebook and Twitter feed for the last couple days, nothing's been posting at all. And it just, out of the blue, the service that I was using just turned all my feeds off for no reason whatsoever. So go figure that one out. But it started making me think about some of the stuff that we've discussed before in talking about the Pentagon and 80% of the world's IP addresses. We remember back last summer that Cyber Grand Challenge that they had in Carnegie Mellon University's Mayhem won that contest. I think it was for like $2 million. And they had created an artificially intelligent cybersecurity sentry to scan the internet and be able to bag and tag anything that could be considered a problem. Well, I think we're going to look at a little bit of that stuff today. So I found a story early today out of Quartz Magazine, QZ.com. The Quartz Guide to Artificial Intelligence. What is it? Why is it important? And should you be afraid? Well, very good question. What is artificial intelligence? And some of this is going to be a review for us, but we might as well just see what they're saying in mainstream publications. What is artificial intelligence? Why is it important? And why is everyone talking about it all of a sudden? If you skim the online headlines, you're likely to read about AI powering Amazon and Google's virtual assistants or Microsoft's Tay, and how it's taking all the jobs, which they have in parentheses, debatable. I say bullshit, it is going to take all the jobs, and not a good explanation of what it is or whether robots are going to take over. Well, we're here to help with this living document, a plain English guide to AI that will be updated and refined as the field evolves and important concepts emerge. Artificial intelligence is software, a computer program with a mechanism to learn. We've read all about deep learning. And it uses that knowledge to make decisions in new situations as humans do. And we've read about even some of the stuff that Elon Musk is doing with his Tesla self-driving cars, where they are able to learn on the fly from situations. We saw that Google and Google's DeepMind project, we read about that guy yesterday. He's now used game theory. Ian Goodfellow is his name. He's now using game theory to build virtual situations for the AI and Google's deep brain to learn from. And they've been using video and cat pictures and faces and all kinds of different things to allow these things to learn now that they have graphical processing units. We've talked about that as well. NVIDIA and their GPU. It says the researchers building the software try to write code that can read images, text, video, or audio. Remember microphones. Give it robot googly ears, and learn something from it. And once the machine has learned, that knowledge can be put to use elsewhere. So if an algorithm learns to recognize someone's face, ding, we've read about a whole bunch of stories, it can then be used to find them in Facebook photos or in HD Argus DARPA drones that are scanning people walking through crowds. And in modern AI, learning is often called training. Humans are naturally adept at learning complex ideas, and we can see an object like an apple and then recognize a different apple later on. Machines are very literal. A computer does not have a flexible concept of quote-unquote similar, and the goal of artificial intelligence is to make machines less literal. It is easy for a machine to tell if two images, to tell if two images of an apple or two sentences are exactly the same. But AI aims to recognize a picture of the same apple from a different angle or a different light, and it's capturing visual ideas of an apple. This is called generalizing, or forming an idea that is based on similarities in data rather than just the images or the text that the AI has seen. That's a more general idea that can be applied to things that AI has not seen before. We found out, where was this one? That Ian Goodfellow of Google's brain team has invented ways for neural networks to get better working together. We found out that they were teaching these things to learn without human supervision, and they made it into a contest. They called it a generative adversarial network, and they were dueling neural networks that improved learning from unlabeled data. It says that they can already perform some dazzling tricks by internalizing the characteristics of a collection of photos, for example. A generative adversarial network can improve the resolution of a pixelated image, can also dream up realistic fake photos, or apply a particular artistic style to an image. They are giving neural networks an imagination, is what they're doing. So look out. So how far along is AI today? Well, don't worry about it, people, because we keep telling you it's not that far along. Artificial intelligence researchers are still working on the very basics of this problem. We found out on a daily basis that this is not true, and they aren't coming to many conclusions by leaps and bounds and increasing this technology every single day. So don't let them fool you that this is just in the very beginning infant stages. How do we teach computers to recognize what they see in images or video? And after that, how does recognition move to understanding, not only producing the word apple, but also that an apple is a food related to oranges and pears, and that humans eat apples and can cook with them, and they use apples to make pies, and that's connected to the story of Johnny Appleseed, and so on and so on and so on. Also, there's the matter of understanding our language, where words have multiple meanings based on a context. Definitions are always evolving, and each person has a slightly different way of saying things. How can computers understand this fluid, ever-changing construct? Well, I don't know. Progress in AI moves at different speeds depending on the medium, and right now we are seeing incredible growth in the ability to understand images and videos called computer vision and robot googly eyes, and that progress does little to help other AI understand text, a field called natural language processing. And these fields are developing narrow intelligence, which means that AI is powerful at working with images or audio or text, but it can't learn the same way from all three. An agnostic form of learning would be general intelligence, which is what we see in humans, and many researchers hope that advancements in individual fields will uncover more shared truths about how we can make machines learn and eventually converging it into a unified method for building general artificial intelligence. Once artificial intelligence has learned to identify an apple, and we found out Google discovered that if they just feed it more images and more data, it learns faster. Once it has learned to identify an apple or transcribe a snippet of speech from an audio clip, which they are doing automatically on YouTube videos now, it can be used in other pieces of software to make decisions that would have once required a human. It can be used to identify and tag your friends in Facebook photos, something a human would have to do manually. And it can identify another car or a street sign in a self-driving car or in your car's backup camera. It can be used to locate bad produce that should be removed in agricultural production. And these tasks, based off image recognition, would typically be done by either the user or someone in the company providing the software. If a task saves the user's time, it is a feature. And if it saves someone at the company time or eliminates a job completely, it is a cost saver. Ding. There are some applications like crunching millions of data points in minutes for sales analytics or facial recognition that could never have been feasible without machines, meaning potential for new information that has never been possible before. These tasks can now be done quickly and cheaply by machines anytime and anywhere, and it is the replication of tasks done once by humans, and there is an undeniable economic benefit for endlessly scalable, low-cost slave labor. Hey! Jason Hong, a professor at Carnegie Mellon University's Human-Computer Interaction Lab, and we're going to talk a little bit more about Carnegie Mellon, says that while AI can replicate human tasks, it also has the ability to unlock new kinds of labor. Automobiles were a direct replacement for horses, but in the medium and the long term to many other kinds of uses, such as semi-trucks for large-scale shipping, moving vans, minivans, and convertibles. Similarly, AI systems in the short term will have to be a direct replacement for routine tasks of some kinds. But in the medium and long term, we see that the uses will be just as dramatic as in automobiles. Just as the Gottlieb Daimler and Carl Benz didn't think how the automobile would redefine the way we built cities or the effects of pollution or obesity, we are yet to see the long-term impacts of this new kind of labor. A lot of the ideas on how AI should learn are actually more than 60 years old. Researchers in the 50s like Frank Rosenblatt, Bernard Widrow, Marcion Hoff were among the first to study how biologists through neurons in the brain worked and approximate what they were doing with math. And the idea that one major equation might not be able to solve every problem, but what if we used many connected equations like the human brain does? The initial examples were simple. Analyze a set of ones and zeros coming through a telephone line and predict what was next. And that was done at Princeton University. For many decades in computer science, the idea would never work on more complex problems. Today, it underlies most of the AI pursuits for major tech companies, from Google to Amazon to Facebook to Microsoft. Looking back, researchers now realize that computers were not complex enough to model the billions of neurons in our brain back then, and that massive amounts of data were needed to train these neural networks as they are known. These two facts, computing power and data, have only been realized in the last 10 years. I mentioned that before. I mean, always in the past, it was bigger, faster, smaller, and more powerful. And now we don't have to worry about that anymore with the cloud that we have. In the mid-2000s, graphical processing units, or GPU company NVIDIA, concluded that their chips were well-suited for running neural networks, and it began making it easier to run AI on its hardware. And now a lot of people are using that, and a lot of the big boys. Researchers found that being able to work with faster and more complex neural networks led to more improvement in accuracy. Then in 2009, AI researcher Fifi Li published a database called ImageNet, and we read about Fifi Li a while ago, which contained more than 3 million organized images with labels of what were inside. She thought if these algorithms had more examples of the world to find patterns in between them, it could help them understand more complex ideas. She started an ImageNet competition in 2010, and by 2012, researcher George Hinton, we read about George Hinton just recently, he's an AI guy, use those millions of images to train a neural network to beat other applications by more than a 10% accuracy. As Lee had predicted, data was the key. Hinton had also stacked neural networks one on top of the other. One found shapes, while another looked at textures and so on. And these are called deep neural networks or deep learning, which it does it like the brain does in multiple layers. And today it is mainly what you hear about in the news when someone is referring to AI. So now the next question, should we be afraid of AI? Dun, 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 dun. That is the $1 million question. After watching movies like Terminator, which we did this summer, highly recommended, it is easy to be scared of an all-powerful evil AI like Skynet. And in the AI research world, Skynet would be referred to as a general superintelligence or an artificial general intelligence software that is more powerful than the human brain in every way. Since computers are able to scale, meaning that we can make bigger, faster computers and link them all together, the fear is that the power of these robot brains will grow to an unfathomable level. And like I said, it's the big pulsating brain in the sky that we're building. And if they're that smart, they'd be uncontrollable and circumvent any human attempts to shut them off. And I would agree with that. That is the doomsday scenario that Elon Musk and Stephen Hawking, immensely smart people, worry about when they go to sleep. Despite their intelligence within certain domains, most AI researchers discount the idea of, quote, summoning the demon, unquote, as Musk has called it. Even the if researchers crack the fundamentals of learning or how to understand the meaning behind patterns and organize that understanding into a functional worldview, there is no evidence that computers would have wants or desires or a will to survive, says Yann LeCun, head of Facebook's AI research laboratory, of which Regina Duggan from DARPA is involved with in Building 8. Behavior like becoming violent when we feel threatened, being jealous, wanting exclusive access to resources, preferring our next of kin to strangers, etc., were built into us by evolution for the survival of the species. Intelligent machines, I would beg to differ, will not have this basic behavior unless we explicitly build these behaviors into them. Well, that is bullshit, because we already found out that Google pitted two AIs against each other to see whether or not they would fight or cooperate. And we found out that when resources got scarce, they started to kill each other and to go completely off the rails in order to take out the competition. There is no evidence, they say, that a computer would find humanity a threat, because there is no such thing as a threat to a computer. It might be able to define it and to be told to operate within parameters that would functionally operate like a will to survive, but that will does not exist. The reason I say, and that is the author, that I don't worry about AI turning evil is the same reason I don't worry about overpopulation on Mars. And this is Andrew Ng, founding member of Google Brain and former head of AI at Beidou. But there is one reason to fear AI, and that would be humans. And it is shown that AI is sensitive to picking up human biases in the data that it learns from, like Tay. These biases can be harmless, like recognizing cats and images more often than dogs, because it's been trained on more cat pictures. But they could also perpetuate stereotypes, like associating the word doctor with a white male more than any other gender or race. Or if an AI with biases were in charge of hiring doctors, it could be unfairly biased against hiring anyone who isn't a white male. A ProPublica investigation found that algorithms used to sentence those convicted of crimes were racially biased, recommending harsher sentences to people of color. Healthcare data routinely excludes women, especially pregnant women, leading to systems functioning on incomplete data when making medical recommendations to these people. And since these mechanisms make the same decisions that once required humans with the speed of endlessly powerful machines, we need to try to make sure that those decisions are fairly and consistently within our ethics. And it is not easy to tell whether an algorithm is biased or has been hacked or fed bad data. Since deep learning requires millions of connected computations, sorting through all of those smaller decisions to figure out their contribution to a larger one is incredibly difficult. And remember, AI does not yet have to explain itself. So even if we know that an AI made a bad decision, we don't know why or how. This is the dark heart of AI. So it is tough to build mechanisms to catch biases before it's been implemented. This issue is especially precarious in fields like the self-driving car, where each decision on the road can make the difference between life or death, or whether or not to decide to slam you, the driver, into a wall versus careening out into the sidewalk and having to get the 100 people out of the way. Early research has shown hope that we will be able to reverse engineer the complexity of machines we've created. But today, it is nearly impossible to know why any one decision was made by Facebook or Google or Microsoft's AI. Da, da, da. What do you say to them, Apples? Pretty frightening. So we've looked at Google researchers teaching AI to build its own more powerful AI, as well as Google's DeepMind pitting AI against AI to see if they fight or cooperate. And Ian Goodfellow, as part of Google's brain team, inventing a way for neural networks to get better while working together. So everything in that court story, I personally say, is bullshit, because it isn't going to be as rosy as they say. So out of, I got to see what this is, Gizmodo.com this morning, hackers have already started to weaponize artificial intelligence. We read that story yesterday about sex bots running AI potentially in the future, able to be hacked and turn into killer sex bots. You have to worry about the full Internet of Things. Hackers are out there weaponizing artificial intelligence. Last year, two data scientists from a security firm, ZeroFox, conducted an experiment to see who was better at getting Twitter users to click on malicious links, humans or artificial intelligence. The researchers taught an AI to study the behavior of social network users. And that's one thing, behavioral analytics, that's going to get us all into trouble. These machines are watching everything you do, and every interaction you make is feeding data to the machine. The researchers taught AI to study the behavior of social network users and then designed and implemented its own phishing bait. And in tests, the artificial hacker was substantially better than its human competitors, composing and distributing more phishing tweets than humans with a substantially better conversion rate. The AI named Snap_R sent simulated spear phishing tweets over 800 users at a rate of 6.75 tweets a minute, luring 275 victims. By contrast, Forbes staff writer Thomas Fox Brewster, who participated in the experiment, was only able to pump out 1.075 tweets a minute, making 129 attempts and luring just 49 users. Thankfully, this was just an experiment, but the exercise showed that hackers are already in a position to use AI for their nefarious ends. And in fact, they are probably already using it, which is hard to prove. But in July, at the Black Hat USA 2017 in Vegas, hundreds of leading cybersecurity experts gathered in Vegas to discuss this issue and other looming threats posed by emerging technology. And remember, the head of the NSA and DARPA show up at that convention as well. In a silence poll held during the conference, attendees were asked if criminal hackers will use AI for offensive purposes in the coming year, to which 62% answered in the affirmative. The era of artificial intelligence is upon us, but don't worry about it. Resistance is futile, says the South Korean doctor. Yet if this informational silence poll is to be believed, a surprising number of InfoSec professionals are refusing to acknowledge the potential for AI to be weaponized by hackers in the immediate future. It is a perplexing stance, given that many of the cybersecurity experts we spoke to said machine intelligence is already being used by hackers, and that criminals are more sophisticated in their use of this emerging technology than many people realize. And I'm going to add to that, it's not just hackers. It is our federal government and all of the alphabet agencies that have brought a lot of these individuals under their wing to help them target Russia and the Eastern Bloc of cyber attackers that are hacking our election to keep America safe, guys. We read about DARPA and targeting 80% of all the world's IP addresses for viruses, and they're going to be able to scan for vulnerabilities and then place an agent on your network to be able to scan without your knowledge and disinfect and take you out if need be. If you happen to have some sort of botnet, well, we read about Obama. When Obama was leaving office, Obama was at Carnegie Mellon University, October 13th, 2016, and he says, "My successor will govern a country being transformed by AI." And at the time, we kind of read about it and said, yeah, but look at what's happened since October, less than a year now. It has been all balls out. And this was the call to action. The president says advances like self-driving cars will also come with drawbacks, such as lost jobs. Remember, Congress just, I think it was just the other day, they just pushed that self-driving car bill, and it is now going to the Senate. The implications of recent advances in AI were a major theme at a technology conference organized by the White House and held in Pittsburgh at Carnegie Mellon University. Speaking on stage, Obama said self-driving Ubers, which were being tested with passengers in Pittsburgh, were a good example of the coming complexities. And although welcome and useful, vehicles that drive themselves will have some downsides. We won't tell you what it is. Huge percentage of Americans make its living, and often probably a pretty good living, driving. So understandably, people are concerned about what this is going to mean. A report on the future of AI published by the White House this week listed many areas of societies and the economy that will be transformed by smarter software. And although positive about technology's benefits, the report also discusses potential drawbacks. Robotics might displace workers, or algorithms might be used in policing, and they might exhibit biases. A report calls for more public discussion and engagement from policymakers on problems like those. And notice how much public discussion is going on about any of this stuff. The Pittsburgh conference mostly highlighted ways in which AI likely will have a positive impact. Of course it did. And researchers talked about using machine learning to build intelligent traffic systems, improve medical diagnoses, and how to protect wildlife. But panel discussions and hallway conversations between sessions often turn to challenges the government will face, including job losses and universal basic income. Given the prominence of debates about jobs in the current presidential race, the role of AI in shaping the labor market could become a major political issue. The White House signaled that it believed future presidents should try to shape how AI technology evolves and is deployed. But it also conceded that it is unclear on how to do that. This is an inflection point. So let's make sure it's all in the name of national security. Carnegie Mellon University was the winner of the DARPA Cyber Grand Challenge. And its product was called Mayhem, and it is now called For All Secure, I believe. I keep forgetting that. For All Secure. Meet Mayhem, the computer bug hunting machine. This was August 10th, 2016. This is out of Carnegie Mellon. This is Mayhem, a supercomputer that won a Pentagon contest to autonomously hunt software bugs. This is where I'm connecting this back to this DARPA scanning 80% of all the world's IP addresses, finding backdoors, and trying to find botnets. The machine was built by a team from For All Secure, a technology startup that won first place in the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency's Cyber Grand Challenge. The contest, which took place August 4th, 2016 in Las Vegas, and coincided with DEF CON, which is another Vegas hacker conference, one of the world's largest conferences for hackers, pitted seven supercomputers against each other in a digital game of Capture the Flag to comb software for problematic code. The computers were big, standing several feet tall and requiring huge amounts of electricity and water to keep them cool, some 300 kilowatts of electricity, enough to power 1.5 city blocks and 180 tons of water at a rate of 200 gallons per minute. So much for doing that in the desert. For All Secure, a spinoff from Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, oh, exactly where Obama gave a speech in October of that year, received a $2 million cash prize for placing first in the contest with its Mayhem machine. Our vision is to check the world's software for exploitable bugs so they can be fixed before attackers have used them to hack computers, says David Brumley, chief executive officer of All Secure. director of Carnegie Mellon Sci-Lab and Privacy Institute, and a professor of electrical and computer engineering. We believe our technology can make the world's computers safe and secure. Ding, ding, ding. So I call bullshit on DARPA scanning 80% of the world's IP addresses, because I am pretty certain that they are going to be using this 4R Secure Mayhem software developed out of the DARPA Cyber Grand Challenge. A team called TechX, with experts from Gramatech Inc. and the University of Virginia, placed second, earning a $1 million prize. And another called Shellfish, PHISH, with graduate students from the University of California, Santa Barbara, which is under the guise of Minute Napolitano, was a third place winner, landing $750,000, the release states. The goal of DARPA's project is to help develop bug hunting bots that eventually could be used to better protect Dingling commercial and defense products, according to Mike Walker, who manages the Cyber Grand Challenge program at the research agency. These machines behind me were built atop decades of program analysis science, engineered over 2 1-year stages of competition built by pioneers, program analytic scientists, hackers, and engineers. So tonight, these machines will play capture the flag against each other, he said in a YouTube video about the contest. Tomorrow, we hope the lessons learned will change the field of computer security. According to DARPA, the need for automated, scalable machine speed vulnerability detection, ding ding, and patching, which they're going to fix it without your knowledge, is large and growing fast as more and more systems, i.e. the Internet of Things, from the household appliances to major military platforms, get connected to and become dependent upon the Internet. Today, the process of finding and countering bugs, hacks, and other cyber infection vectors is still effectively artisanal, the agency said in a release. Professional bug hunters, security coders, and other security pros work tremendous hours searching millions of lines of code to find and fix vulnerabilities that should be taken, that could be taken advantage of by users with ulterior motives. Increasingly sophisticated cyber attacks not only result in theft and mischief, but also have the potential to damage physical structures and systems. Well, all we got to do is unplug. If we unplugged everything and went back to more traditional ways of doing things, this wouldn't be an issue. But give it all up to the machine, because your sex bots are coming online. And if you don't get your software update, it could kill you. This is just unbelievable. Problem, reaction, solution, ad nauseum. In December of 2016, 2015, maybe, the Ukrainian power grid was hacked, and it could be the U.S. one next, leaving hundreds of thousands of homes in the Ivano-Frankivsk region of the country without electricity. And in 2010, the Stuxnet computer virus infected Iranian nuclear facilities, which was developed by the U.S. and Israel, in what Wired magazine called the, quote, world's first digital weapon. Again, created by intelligence agencies. Walker, the program manager, compared the project's potential to that of Stanley, the self-driving car that won the 2005 DARPA Grand Challenge, according to the release. And Stanley earned its place in the Smithsonian by redefining what was possible, he said in a release. And today, the technology descended from Stanley and his competition are driving on America's streets all on their own. And that long-awaited revolution is arriving on our streets and highways right now. Walker said that the computer virus hunting machines may someday eliminate the vulnerability posed by zero day, which is a term defined by Wired, is a security hole in software such as a browser or an operating system that is yet unknown to the software maker or to antivirus vendors. Imagine that technology will follow these first prototypes and what the technology will mean. And it is a self-learning security software. And imagine networks where zero day cannot happen to anybody, where zero day does not guarantee a hacker's success, and where defenders work together with guardian machines to help keep networks safe. So Obama, my successor, will govern a country being transformed by AI. Yes, we are being eaten alive by AI right now. Watch out. Artificial intelligence can replace highly skilled cybersecurity specialists as well. Another job that will be eaten up by the machine. In a previous blog post, I mentioned that our post-Brexit world, a continued shortage in the availability of resources can carry out low-skilled labor and often unsociable hours and many low wages may hasten the adoption of robots in both farming and non-farming sectors. However, we also happen to have a chronic shortage of higher-end skills, especially those in the STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics sectors. And according to the UK Commission for Employment and Skills, 43% of STEM vacancies in the UK are still hard to fill due to a shortage of applicants with required skills or experience. Additionally, there may not be as many people who have the inclination to pursue careers in the more scientific or technical sectors. And current efforts to address these skill gaps through training, apprenticeships, adult learning, and revised education curriculum have not been fast enough. So let's get the machine to help us. For example, in the cybersecurity sector, a chronic lack of highly in-demand penetration testing and vulnerability skills assessment have led some CSOs, which are your chief security officers, to further increase their usage of more advanced automated penetration testing tools that have more sophisticated exploit functions to detect application and network vulnerabilities and intrusions or prevent cyber attacks. Progress in AI and automation technologies have further improved penetration testing tools. And as a result, this demonstrates that both lower-end and certain higher-end skills can become automated successfully to a level that is comparable to what an actual human specialist can do. Again, as AI and entities move up the value chain in the world of work, some sectors more rapidly than others, the C-level executives will have to start planning on how to harness these opportunities as well as mitigate potential new risks and issues that creep up as a result. Where the use of AI technology will power your core business, or is it starting to be utilized in your enterprise, or where meta machines are actually coworkers in your company, what are your challenges, and what do you need to navigate the company through? Well, put on a seatbelt, because now they have mind-reading AI is the newest defense against cybersecurity attacks. Ransomware has been disastrous for businesses and individuals alike. And remember, a lot of this stuff isn't just a hacker in his bedroom. A lot of this stuff is done by governments or rogue hackers or alphabet agencies that have created the problem that then they had to solve with autonomous cybersecurity software that will put surveillance agents on every device on the Internet of Things. Ransomware has been disastrous for businesses and individuals alike, with recent attacks by WannaCry, and the DARPA document talked about WannaCry as well, costing millions of dollars for companies, and personal attacks threatening private data. We are all at risk. So be afraid, be very afraid. Criminals are holding data and information hostage using tools that require almost no skill, and once they have your files, it is too late to react. MPOW, a security startup, just patented a quote-unquote mind-reading approach to cybersecurity in order to try to discover these attacks the moments they start. CEO and founder Avi Chesla said today in a press release, and this was a story from yesterday, quote, "The innovative technology behind the patent enables human security experts to understand the actual intentions of any attacker. This quote-unquote mind reading is accomplished initially by data gathering. We read the data generated by a variety of tools inside the organization, which is then enriched by internet data sources, which yield more signals and clues. These are harvested from the good guys and the bad. Of course, let's take stuff from everybody. And on top of that, we apply neuro-linguistic programming algorithms to draw definitive conclusions about what the attacker is after. No one signal lets us read the attacker's mind, but we connected the dots to generate the intention." Ding, ding, ding. Behavioral analytics. And that is important, not just for the bad guys, but also as they are monitoring us. They are going to make profiles of your personality and be able to predict what you're going to do next. The AI uses all that data it can gather to determine what an attack might look like specific to the system it is protecting and constantly monitors everything happening on the entire network. When it doesn't have enough data from internal sources, it begins searching outside of your network for information that fills the gaps. It learns to understand what suspicious behavior looks like at the moment it starts, and it allows it to react within the first couple of seconds of an attack with a solution tailored to the best to defend your network and your data. The AI is like a guard dog that comes well-trained and never stops learning on how to do its job better, guarding your assets. It's getting easier to hack networks and compromise accounts and harder to secure them, and there is an arms race going on. And I told you, this is cybersecurity and some of these new weapons that they are developing between us, China, and Russia, as well as all the rogue groups out there, is the new 21st century arms race. This arms race going on between criminals and computer systems and governments that requires improvement in leaps that goes beyond virus definition updates and malware protection. MPOWD's patented mind-reading AI won't tell you what you're thinking, but if it brings bigger guns in the fight against cyber attacks, it'll be far more important than a crystal ball. So look out, people, because everything you own is going to have this intelligent scanning software on it. The case for autonomous cybersecurity and the story of 4ALLSecure. And this is the company from cyber from Carnegie Mellon University that won the DARPA Cyber Grand Challenge. I will discuss the problems for 4ALLSecure and the problems that we seek to solve with autonomous cybersecurity technology, a short history of its development, and its overview of its go-to-market strategy. Software is increasingly permeating every aspect of our lives. And while many of these software-driven technologies advance from medical devices to autonomous vehicles, and that's what we got to worry about, is when they can start getting into things that your life depends upon. It's not just your cell phone anymore or your computer that doesn't work half the time. Now it's your heart monitor or your diabetes insulin pump or something of that nature, or your brain scanning technology. It holds amazing promise to make our lives better, and the prevalence of software has also left us more exposed to attack than ever. The application attack surface is growing by 111 billion new lines of software code every year, with newly reported zero-day exploits rising from one per week in 2015 to one per day in 2021, according to the application security reports from Cybersecurity Ventures. And with this backdrop, the 4ALLSecure team embarked on a mission to build technology that would make software safe again automatically. And while Carnegie Mellon University, our founders, Professor David Brumley, and graduate students made key advances in the area of formal verification of software programs, in 2012, they decided to spin out this technology into a startup called 4ALLSecure, dedicated to the mission of making the world's software safe. I wonder if there's a global timeline on this as well as the 5G rollout. This is what the DARPA Cyber Grand Challenge, the world's first machine-only hacking competition, sought to demonstrate to the world in 2016, is the U.S. Department of Defense's agency responsible for the development of emerging technologies for national defense. DARPA spent nearly $60 million on a two-year program with over 100 global teams participating in building autonomous systems that could attack and defend without human intervention. It is Skynet. In August 2016, after logging thousands of engineering hours building 4ALLSecure bots, Mayhem, which that's what they called it, Mayhem, we competed as one of seven final teams in the exciting showdown, and we came out on top. This is the point of this story that brought me to the company. An engineer by training, I have spent my career identifying and catching the waves of enterprise technology disruptions, including the emergence of multi-core processors at Intel. Ding, ding, I was there. Virtualization at VMware. Ding, ding, I was there as well. And hyperconvergence of Nutanix, which I don't know what that is. I've scaled startups from the ground up, helping them translate their technology into products and bring them to market. In the fall of 2016, and this is the author, not me, I was looking for where the next wave of innovation might happen and zeroed in on security. I've noticed over my career that innovations often arise out of dire need. And because none of us ever thought security was important, just like today, we don't think an off switch for AI is important or killer robots. We didn't build it into any of our technology. So now we have this huge gaping problem that we have to give up all of our liberties and privacy to government agencies in order to protect us. But don't worry about that. Don't look behind the curtain, because killer robots are never going to come to pass. And it seems like companies and organizations were constantly falling victim to malicious hackers, despite massive spending growth and a myriad of security products. With so many startups being funded to tackle this high-growth market, it is understandably a massively crowded space. However, what struck me when I surveyed the startups exhibiting at the RSA conference this year was that most of the products seem to offer some incremental benefit of finding more attacks and slightly lower rates of false positives, but few seem to be creating new categories of security tools like ones that are autonomous, for taking humans out of the equation. For because they're so puny. For all secure, we believe it is possible to decrease the volume of attacks by focusing on the software that are the targets of the malicious hackers. The answer is complicated, but in reality, the situation is that most of the tools today require developers to spend lots and lots of cycles running tools on source code and sifting through false positives while trying to also get their code shipped on time and moving to market. On the other hand, professional security analysts, the white hat hackers, are employed to find vulnerabilities after code is shipped before the black hat hacker does. And in this model, highly used commercial software like popular browsers or desktop applications have large teams of these white hat hackers dedicated to shaking out vulnerabilities and then maybe selling access to them to alphabet agencies. But the rate of software creeping into everything around us creates a mounting problem that requires a new human machine model and that can scale and does not require developers, ding, 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 to slow down their rate of output. So humans are slowing it all down. Designed to analyze binaries or programs that developers have completed and compiled, Mayhem leverages over a decade of research and patented application of bug-finding techniques to automatically generate exploits to identify vulnerabilities. Now, think about how great that would be for some of the alphabet agencies to be able to identify every vulnerability on a machine or on a network and then exploit them by putting a piece of code onto your machine or network and then monitor in a dashboard all of the activity that happens on that computer or their network. How wonderful it is that this For All Secure or Mayhem was developed for DARPA. We don't purport to replace a human security analyst with Mayhem. No, of course they don't. But instead seek to empower them to be more effective. Much the way Centaur teams in chess function, Mayhem enables human analysts to focus on the really difficult issues, while Mayhem can automate analysis and even patching at line speed for common classes of vulnerabilities. For example, in the DARPA Cyber Grand Challenge, Mayhem found that the SQL Slammer vulnerability and patched it in under 6 minutes. The real-life version in 2003 wreaked nearly $1 billion damage as it attacked over 75,000 servers before humans were able to update those systems. I actually attended a conference back in 2003 by Cisco Systems that had someone from the FBI actually there showing us about that SQL vulnerability and how to help customers patch it. That was a very big deal. And to tell you the truth, it was one of the really big first ones that happened. There is an overwhelming response from companies and organizations looking to use Mayhem after the DARPA Cyber Grand Challenge event. And today, For All Secure's early clients and design partners, including federal organizations, ding-ling-ling-ling, and Fortune 500 enterprises that are building consumer and industrial Internet of Things, as well as aerospace and automotive products. As a company, we are doing our best to scale our small but mighty 10-person team to meet market demand and learning lots along the way about how to best continue developing Mayhem for expanded uses for cases both for development teams and software end users. In closing, I thought it would be interesting to bookend the MIT 50 to mention with the fact that Mayhem is currently being exhibited as part of the Smithsonian's Defense and Innovation Showcase. We are honored to be delivering our technology to the U.S. government as a client, as a part of our mission to make the world software safe, one application at a time. Ding-a-ling. So there you have it. Mayhem is the tool that it sounds like DARPA is trying to use to invade all of your machines, find all of your vulnerabilities, and take advantage of those. So we've read about smartphones and AI doctors and healthcare and all kinds of applications that are going to be invading your lives in the not too distant future. Well, here's what I found yesterday. This is out of PC Magazine. Feeling sick? It's time to consult your AI chatbot. Artificial intelligence will not replace human nurses or doctors just yet, but it can help provide healthcare in remote locations and maybe even help bring the cost down in developed countries. The development of AI and access to more advanced data has boosted healthcare research, diagnosis, and treatment. On mobile, AI algorithms and sensor technology are transforming smartphones into full health management platforms. The evolution of mHealth and digital health assistants can help drive the next revolution in healthcare, improving availability for healthcare services, increasing efficiency in the treatment process, reducing costs, and creating unprecedented opportunities for preventative care. And soon the devices in our pockets will be an integral part of living a healthier life. Ding, ding, ding. And think about this one. With all these hackers and all these governments being able to probe all of our Internet of Things devices, how much of your health data and the chinks in your armor are going to be available for them to take a look at and decide how easy it would be to take you out, especially if you're a problem? At the heart of the mHealth revolution, our AI-powered health assistants, some are found to be standalone apps, while others exist as chatbots inside of our popular messenger applications. Users chat with these agents as they would a doctor, relaying symptoms like a headache or stomach ache. And as a doctor would, the agent asks follow-up questions, maybe about other probable symptoms the patient may have overlooked, and gives the user a personalized assessment of their health conditions, as well as recommendations on what steps they should take. These assistants transform mHealth apps from static sources of information. Oh, hold on. It just popped me a window. Into smartphone platforms that offer flexible and friendly interactions. For example, it uses conversational chatbots to help patients find the causes of their symptoms. And it is proprietary probabilistic reasoning engine that taps into an extensive medical knowledge base covering many thousands of conditions, symptoms, and findings. And it uses this AI engine to analyze patient-related data, past medical history, symptoms, risk factors, and more. And it uses machine learning algorithms to better understand the patient's condition and provide you with accurate assistance. So don't worry about it. The doctor you consult could be a robot in the future. Healthcare meets AI and blockchain. So that's going to help us with our security. According to the World Health Organization, there is a shortage of 7 million healthcare professionals globally, and that number is on the rise. So there's not enough scientists, technologists, programmers, doctors. Anything that requires half a brain doesn't exist anymore because we've all become lazy as a society. So give it all up to the machine. Allow the machine to learn all about what makes us tick and all about where our off switch is. So when it comes to competing with humans for resources, they will be able to win. There is an increasing pressure on doctors who are faced with meeting the challenge of the population and keeping up with the latest developments in healthcare medicine. Step to the forefront, IBM Watson. Furthermore, the training of healthcare professionals takes years of education for the puny human brain. And with the help of AI, DocAI aims to address such challenges while improving the patient care and providing better healthcare experiences. We are making it possible for lab tests to converse directly with patients by leveraging advanced AI, medical data forensics, and with the decentralized blockchain. And remember, AI can now predict when you're going to die by your CT scans. And here's a new one. Deep learning's deepest impact, AI storming through a $6.5 trillion healthcare industry. Big money. And this is from NVIDIA. Flesh and blood, bones and guts. As humans, we feel nothing more viscerally, in the most literal sense, than our health. And that makes this year's gathering of the Medical Image Computing and Computing Assisted Intervention Society, the MICCAI 2017, in Quebec, Canada, one of the best ways to understand how deep learning is improving the lives of people all around us. This conference brings together leading biomedical scientists, engineers, and clinicians to talk about new technologies in medical imaging and computer-assisted intervention, providing an early look at trends poised to sweep through the $6.5 trillion healthcare industry. This will be the group's biggest conference yet, with 1,300 attendees, with deep learning, which pairs vast quantities of health data with sophisticated neural networks to give computers amazing new capabilities, and deserves a lot of credit, says the organizers. That is in no small part to the increased interest in AI in the research health community, says one of the board directors, an associate professor at the Department of Radiology at Université Laval. So there you go, $6.5 trillion for AI to start assessing you. Smartphones could someday assess your brain injuries. An app measures your pupils' response to light to evaluate your head trauma. Researchers at the University of Washington are developing a simple way to assess potential concussions and other brain injuries with just a smartphone. The team has developed an app called Pupil Screen that uses video and a smartphone's camera flash to record and calculate how your pupils respond to light. Assessing head trauma due to, for example, sports injuries or a car crash is done typically with either a pupil meter, rarely found outside of a hospital. They could just put that right into your, the little sun flap in your car, or a mix of subjective evaluations like balancing, repeating a list of words, or visually examining a pupil's response with a flashlight. And they did that to me in the hospital. All right, guys, try to have an experience to shoot.